Hey, let's go and get into this, man. Okay, so here we are. We started talking last week about the Holy Spirit. Was it who? Okay, let me see. Who was here last week? Wrong people last week. Okay. Who was not here last week? Okay, a couple people here. Okay, cool. And then everybody else just doesn't want to raise their hands. I understand. I get it. It's a hard day of lifting hands up today. I understand that. Okay, so let's jump into this today because the Holy Spirit is one of those topics that it's another one of those things where it's a make it or break it. See, I know a lot of people that call themselves Christians, people that go to church and people that don't go to church. I have family that call themselves Christians, and some of them go to church and some of them don't go to church. But you know, the defining factor on what makes a person's life as a Christian effective, happy, joyous is this person called the Holy Spirit. Because I know a lot of people that they can go to church and they can even love God with their heart, but you know what? They don't do anything. They don't go anywhere. You know, these people, they sit in a chair. They read their Bible. They think Jesus is good. And they might even sing the songs. But you know what? Because they don't know who the Holy Spirit is, their life is very dry. It's very boring. They even think things like, "Why do I even have to go to church? Because it sucks so much. It's so boring." They say, "Man, I used to have fun before I became a Christian." Now, you know, that's just simply because they don't know who the Holy Spirit is, because they don't have the Holy Spirit operating in their lives. So the question is this, is how do you want to do life? Let me even ask you this. For the majority of it, how do you want to do this Christian walk of yours? I mean, are you going to do it day by day, get by? Are you going to be a person that just kind of settles for coming into a building and then hearing somebody talk and then going home and going about life? Because see, that kind of stuff drives me crazy. I couldn't, I mean, what's the point? It's like school all over again. I walk into a building and I sit in a room and somebody talks and then I listen to them, kind of, and then I go and it doesn't do anything for me. And then it's a bunch of stuff that I don't really need to know. What am I going to use that for in my life? Why do I need to know the Pythagorean theorem? Why do I need to know about what an ion is? Why do I need to know? What does this mean to me? Oh no. Well, it's the same thing with church. Who cares if there's 12 disciples, right? Who, water to wine? Hey, that sounds like a good excuse. Never mind. I mean, you want me to know the epistles and the apostles? Are those related? You know, I mean, what does it matter? 66 books in the Bible? So what? The Bible was one book. See, the church isn't here just so you can learn a couple things and you know, like facts and trivia. See, this is the difference the Holy Spirit makes from going into a building with, when you fill out a form and it says religion, you click off Christian, you know, there's a difference that goes from routine and ritual to a way that you live life, a way that you experience love, joy, hurt. This is where it all changes with the Holy Spirit. Now, if you were to read the book of John, and let's say you were to start at chapter 14, and then you were to read chapter 14, all of it, then you were to read chapter 15, all of it, and then you were to read chapter 16, all of it. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's kind of saying, hey, he's just kind of letting them know what's going down, and this is the way this is, and this is the way that, and it's actually really interesting. It's actually a really good read. If you don't know what to read, then that's a really good place to start, because it kind of makes sense. And throughout those chapters, Jesus keeps on talking about this thing, this person, this idea, these two words, Holy Spirit. And it's kind of difficult because a lot of times people have a hard time figuring out, okay, God, Jesus, how's that one work out? And then once you throw another person up in the mix, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit? Okay, God, that's the old dude with the beard in the clouds. Got it. Jesus, that's the young dude with the beard on the cross. But the Holy Spirit, does he have a beard? And where does he stand? Because the clouds are taken and the cross is taken. What's up with him? You know, is he a bird? And so all of a sudden, you know, there's this confusion because we have a hard time picturing it. And I say that jokingly because God is not an old guy in a beard in a cloud. And Jesus, you know, he's not a young guy with a beard on a cross because he's not there anymore. You know, the Bible tells us that he's alive. He's resurrected. He's alive forevermore. He was, is, and will always be. So that's a change right there. I mean, you notice when we have crosses around here, Jesus isn't on it. That's because he's not on it anymore. But the Holy Spirit is a different subject altogether. You see, God the Father is God, and Jesus is God, and the Holy Spirit, well, he's God too. One God, three persons.
That doesn't make any sense, Pastor Richard, because I learned 1 + 1 = 2 + 1 = 3. So you're telling me 1 + 1 + 1 = 1? Yeah, totally.
See, the Holy Spirit, you've got to get this idea. See, the Holy Spirit is God here on earth. We talked about this last week. Holy Spirit is God here on earth because Jesus, he resurrected. He lived, died, rose again, heaven. Remember the ascension, Acts 1st chapter? Anyway, don't worry about it. You'll read it. You'll read it soon enough. And God, you know, God the Father, he's everywhere, of course, but his throne is in heaven. But you see, Jesus, when he rose, he said, don't worry about it. I'm not leaving you guys alone. The Holy Spirit will be here. The Helper will stay here to work with you, alongside you. Pastor Richard, that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Okay, let me. This is the best way to explain it. I need somebody. Get up here real quick, Raylene. Okay, get up here. Okay, this is the best way to know how to explain Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then we'll get this done. Please stand right here in the middle. Is God is three persons, but one God. You see, just like Raylene, you could even say, okay, let's take a look at her, and you could even say, okay, there's only one Raylene. There can only be one. But if you were to look at her and in the way that God has designed her, even you, your body, you could even break it down into three different parts that have three specific functions, but it's all her. I mean, you could say, okay, like, you know, Raylene has a head. Well, yeah, I know. Thank God it's still there. She got hit in the head the other day. It sucked. But anyway, so she has a head on top of a body with four limbs sticking out of it. Now, if you were to hit her on the arm, you'd be hitting Raylene. If, unfortunately, like early in the week, she got hit in the head, you'd be hitting Raylene. If you were to sock her in the stomach, which would be horrible, you'd still be hitting Raylene, although four or three different parts, head, torso, and limbs, each has a specific function, all working together, three parts, one person doing specific things. Three, one. The best way I know how to explain the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. Now you go sit down, go sit down, go sit down, go sit down. See, let's give it for Aileen. So, okay, so here we are, and Jesus is talking about so many different things, including wrapped up all with this is the Holy Spirit. So, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. The Father is there watching and looking over, and, you know, God is here on earth as the in the Holy Spirit. The Bible even says, you know, we talked about this past several weeks, that your body, your heart is a temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where God desires to be. That's where he wants to be, is not just around you, not just on you, not just floating right above your head, telling you to go. No, God desires to dwell and live within you. You see, God doesn't want a building because a building is not nice enough. God doesn't want a country because a country is not big enough. God doesn't want a shrine or a temple or a little statue to kind of say, oh, this is God. No, God says that stuff is ridiculous. Because you know what? Anybody can make those. Anybody can build those. He says, you know, I want something bigger than all those. I want your heart. God doesn't want to stay someplace built by human hands. No. There's only one place that God designed for him to fit in, and that's in your heart. That's God's desire, is to be where you are and for you to be where he is. The Bible says that your heart, your life, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, because God will not suffice. God will not desire to just be in the same room with you. No. He wants to be as close as he can. He was designed. You know, it's even been said you have a God-shaped hole in your heart. So fill that hole with God. And when you do that, finally you'll find that you're made complete. You see, you know, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit in a couple different ways. And you know, the thing is, the way he always talks about him is as a person. I mean, if he's God, he's got to be a person, right? Because God's a person. I mean, God's not a thing or an it or a that. No, no, God is a person. You know, I was just talking with Beth and Pastor Joe earlier in the day about this whole idea, this whole thing, and we were talking, and she told me this, and it just went off within me like a ton of bricks. And this is exactly the way I felt. She put into words what my heart was saying. You don't have a relationship with a chair. You don't have a relationship with a tree. You don't have a relationship with a pair of shoes. I mean, look, you may like them, but you don't have a personal relationship with a thing. See, a lot of times what happens is we think of the Holy Spirit as kind of like the Force, you know what I'm saying? We've been watching Clone Wars cartoons with my kids, and it's like the zzz, and, you know, the choke and then the throw. And now, no. The Holy Spirit is not God's force. That's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit is not like an atmosphere. The Holy Spirit's not like a feeling. Like, ooh, the Holy Spirit must be here. That's not the way it works. I mean, you get the shivers. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you get the shivers when your favorite song comes on. Look, I'm not saying that can't mean the Holy Spirit's talking to you. But I'm saying that's not the Holy Spirit. You getting the tingle is not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is more than a feeling. The Holy Spirit's a person. You cannot help me here. Help me! Help me! Help me! The other way. Here. There we go. Thank you, Miss Akia. You don't hang out with a chair. You don't take a chair to Starbucks. What do you want? What do you want? Latte? No, you don't look like a latte kind of guy. I stain you all the time. Water. You do a water. That way you spill you in the water. No ice? Got it. It's ridiculous. Why didn't you call me the other day? Oh, you don't have hands. Or a phone. Got it. Got it. Never returns my calls. Never. Stupid chair. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. Because it's a thing. It's an it. It's a chair. Akia, on the other hand, is a person. Granted, she can't really help with chairs. She's a person. Akia, sit in the chair. Akia, come on, Akia. I know, it's show and tell time. Let's give it for Akia. Even though she hasn't done anything yet. Hey, what do you want from Starbucks?
Fashion tea, lemonade.
PTL. That's right. With a pump of raspberry? Three pumps! Dang, girl! You go wild. Dang. So why didn't you call me the other day?
I didn't know you wanted me to.
Interesting. You never answer my phone calls anyway.
You never call.
No, I don't. That's probably why. I think I did call you once. So, okay, now this conversation makes a lot more sense. Right? Yeah, not a whole lot. But it takes a more sense. It makes a lot more sense than me talking to the chair. And at least you're answering. Stupid chair never answers my questions. Stupid chair. See, so the difference is between talking to a person and a thing. I mean, now what if I start calling you a thing? She's just kind of offended. I mean, you're up there singing, hey, I don't think it hit her notes. It didn't hit its notes over there. Why is it singing? Is it supposed to sound like that? We need somebody needs to deal with it. I think we need to move it to some other place. I think maybe we just need to send it somewhere else. Maybe it needs to go to another church. Send it back to Donnie. Send it to Donnie. It's slightly offensive, wouldn't you say that? I mean, besides the fact that all those things I was saying was rude, it's only exacerbated, that's a good word, made worse by the fact that we were referring to you as an it. No, it actually wasn't, it really wasn't even a question. It's pretty rude. A little sassy, aren't it, isn't it? No, that'd be horrible. Go sit down over there, go sit down. Get out of here, go ahead, give a big round of applause. So, That would be rude. I mean, that could start a couple fights. If you were to call somebody an it. Yeah, for reals. Throw down. It's about to get a little crazy.
Yeah, get it? Okay.
So when we begin to refer to God or the Holy Spirit as an it, that's rude, right? Because if we reduce the Holy Spirit to a force or a feeling, look, man, look, that is no way to garner God's attention. That's no way to get God active and living alive in your life. See, in John the 14th chapter, verse 16, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit. It says, he says, in 14:16, says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he would abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world can't receive, because it, the world, neither sees him, the Holy Spirit, or knows him, but you know him. Why? Because he dwells with you. Oh, and he will be in you. Oh, so see, because God doesn't want to just be around you or next to you. No, he desires to live in your heart, because he dwells with you and he will be in you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you. No, this is person talking. This isn't talking about an it or a thing or a feeling or woo-woo. John 15, verse 26, a little further down, says, but when the helper comes, whom I'm going to send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth will proceed from the Father, he will testify of me. The Holy Spirit sounds like a person. John 16:7 says this, he says, nevertheless, look, I'm telling you the truth. It's to your advantage. It's better that I go away. Because if I don't go away, well, the helper, he's not going to come to you. But if I depart, then I'm going to send him to you. Oh. You know it there. Pastor Richard, this is ridiculous. Why are we really focusing on this? Because this doesn't make sense. Easy. Because, look, it's easy to do whatever you want when God's not there. It's easy to get discouraged when God is far away. It's easy to want to throw in the towel when all you're doing is you're talking to the ceiling. It's easy to get discouraged when all you are in a building singing a song about God knows what. But when you have an interaction, when you get it finally into the place in your heart where it's like, look, no, God is here. God is a person. God has feelings, emotion. God is somebody just like me, except even bigger and smarter and greater. But he has a heart like mine in that sense. Then all of a sudden it's different. It becomes, well, what does it matter if I steal this? What does it matter if I talk bad? What does it matter if I don't go to church? No. Could you imagine if Akia said, hey, I'll meet you next Wednesday. And there she was waiting for you, and you never showed up. She stood a key up. That's jacked up. Maybe that's why she don't answer your phone calls. Could you imagine if IKEA was trying to talk to you, and then you just walked right by her and ignored her? That'd be jacked up. Gentlemen, that's a good way to lose a girlfriend. Could you imagine if IKEA tried to call you over and over again, and you never picked up the phone? That would be rude. That's a good way to tell somebody, I don't want to talk to you. But see, the problem is when you see God as an it, well, then it's easy to do those things. But when you see God as a person sitting in a chair waiting to talk to you, wouldn't it be rude to ignore somebody waiting for you? Wouldn't it be rude to stand somebody up, to be stood up? Doesn't it hurt? If you had some really great news and you wanted to tell your best friend, but they never picked up the phone, wouldn't that hurt your heart? All I want to do is tell them how great I want to tell them the big scoop. I want to tell them the news. Well, if God's a person, and this is true that Jesus said, hey, wait around. I'm going to send somebody to you to meet up with you. And then you never meet up with them. How does God feel about that? You stood him up. Next Wednesday, God has an appointment. 7:00 to meet you here. I got busy. At least say, hey, God, I'm not going to go to church next week. Don't expect me there. I mean, wouldn't you do that? God, I can't make it. I mean, if you had a date with your girlfriend and you didn't tell her you weren't going to be there, you don't want that argument. You don't want that argument. Hey, God, look, trust me, I know God's not an idiot. He knows you're not here, or you wouldn't be. But still, the point is, God is a person. And all of a sudden, when we sin, or when we do things, or when we act ways that are ungodly, all of a sudden, it begins to make a lot more sense. Oh, that's why. It's not because, oh, I'm not supposed to do this, not supposed to. It's because God is a person. God has a heart, and God has a desire for your life. God is waiting to speak to you, and he's waiting for you to answer him. And if you don't do that, then all of a sudden you begin to ignore God. And here's what you tell God just by ignoring him, just by refusing. You say, God, you know what, I get it, but I don't really care about you. God, I don't want to be around you. God, I don't want to answer you. God, stop calling me because I don't want to talk to you. Now, how many times have we done that? When you knew in your heart, maybe I should pray. Is God calling? Man, I should probably go to church. It was God trying to set up a date with you. You know, maybe I should read my Bible. Well, that's God trying to talk to you. And then you walk right by him. You ignore him. That's rude. Of all the people to be rude to, would we dare be rude to God? You see, God's a person. Yeah, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit really has two great roles. I mean, if you read these verses, John 14, 15, 16, you see that God is called, God the Holy Spirit is called our comforter, he's called our convictor. I think I made that word up. But anyway, he's our comforter because he comforts us. He's our convictor because he convicts us. What does that mean? Easy. God, the Holy Spirit's our comforter because he desires to make us whole. See, in all three of those verses, Jesus, look, wait. Don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. And don't be afraid because I know I'm going to die. I'm going to go on the cross. I'm going to be gone. You won't see me. This beard is going to heaven. And all of a sudden, Jesus, don't worry because I got somebody better for you. He's the helper. That helper, it's a Greek word. It's called parakletos. Don't even care. It doesn't matter if you don't speak Greek because who really does any now in these days unless you live in Greece. But that's not the point. The Bible was written in this language, ancient Greek. And if you were to translate it backwards from English, it would be this word parakletos or paraclete. All that word means, it specifically means someone who comes up beside someone else. That's what it means. Can't get back up here. Yeah. Just go stand over there by that popcorn right there. All that word means is, now he says, don't worry because I'm going to send somebody, the helper, someone to stand up right next to you. What's up? The Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to be by your side. I mean, ultimately inside you, living in your heart, which is even better. But which means means that when you want to quit, you don't have to because you have somebody right next to you standing with you. It means that when you're hurt, it's okay because you have somebody standing right next to you to help you, to comfort you, to put their arm around you, to talk with you. It means you're not alone. You know, they say that a horse is really fast. But a horse with a jockey riding it will ride faster than any wild horse. It's kind of interesting that a horse running alone can only go so fast. But a horse with a rider will go faster than the fastest of all wild horses. There's somebody encouraging it, pushing along. The Holy Spirit is your helper, someone to come alongside you and help you. You know, people who work out with a friend, they work out harder, stronger, they gain more muscle, and they work out longer because they have somebody to work out with. Accountability. Wherever you go, Jesus said, don't worry. I have a helper with you. You never have to do anything alone because that's his job. That's his name, the Parakletos. Bam! That make it a fresh shoe name. He's the one that comes alongside you. I'll go sit down. Look at it for here one time. Yeah. He says he's the one that stands next to you to comfort you. He's the one that makes you whole, that makes you strong. I love what 2 Corinthians 3:17. If you haven't put it up there on the board, 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says this. Do you have it? It says this. Like, says now, the Lord is the Spirit. Oh, okay, so God, God is the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit. Okay, cool. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, well, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's the ability to get things done. I mean, that's what liberty means, right? If you don't have liberty, it means you're captured. You're a prisoner. You're stuck in a cell. You can't go or do anything. But if God is with you, if the Holy Spirit is there beside you, living in you, then that means wherever you go, you have freedom to live the fullness of life God has for you. You can do anything that God's asked you to do. There's no excuse. There's nothing holding you back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is no, impossible is simply not even a factor with you. Because you have the Holy Spirit, you have liberty with you. Where the Spirit is, there's liberty. Oh, I get it. Because you have somebody next to you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if there was a fence that you couldn't jump, you'd have that person to grab your foot and just launch you into that yard that you weren't supposed to be into. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if something, you know, if you were a kid and if something was just out of reach and you had your little brother with you, they could lift you up and help you get those cookies, that helper, to make things that are out of reach in reach. Because that's what his job is. That's what his role is to comfort us, is to give us strength, is to help us go further than ever before. That is God's role here on earth as the Holy Spirit to help us and to comfort us. I mean, even Jesus in Luke 8, you don't got to turn there, but in Luke 8, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Father, is upon me to do things, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring healing, to proclaim liberty, to do all these things. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Man, give me some of that. Thank you for the scattered applause here. But he's our comforter, the one who comes alongside of us and does what we cannot do. He's a person, not a thing, not a feeling or tingle. He's a person that stands beside us to do these things in us and through us. 1 Corinthians 2, it says we don't need to live in worldly wisdom, but we can live life according to the Holy Spirit and his power. To get things done. That is a comforter. Somebody who comes forth and gives you strength. But he's a comforter to make us whole. He makes us whole. He's a convictor to make us holy. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't just there to make us feel good and have tingles, you know, because he does that sometimes. He's just not there to say, oh, you can do anything. Because you can. But he's there to make sure that you stay on track with God. You see, the convictor, the Bible says he convicts us. If you're there in John 16, it continues, it says in 16, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away, Jesus says. Because if I don't go away, if I don't die on the cross, if I don't raise again, the helper, he's not going to be able to come to you. But if I depart, I'm going to send him to you. Oh, and in verse 8 says this, in John 16, 8. Now, when the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Oh, that sounds a little different than the other part. He'll convict them of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, but Pastor Richard, judging people is wrong. Only God can judge me. I know, because he will. Sometimes, when God starts to judge you, you kind of wish other people would start judging you instead. When people say stupid stuff like that, it's like, you don't, that's stupid, because you don't know what you're telling me. You wish I would judge you. You don't want God judging you. It convict you of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you won't see me anymore. Of judgment, because the ruler, Satan, of this world is judged. But I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, oh, then he's going to guide you where to all truth. He's not going to speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He'll tell you the things that are coming. He's going to glorify me, Jesus, for he's going to take what's mine and he'll declare it to you. See, all the things the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said it, that he will take it, what's mine, and declare it to you. See, a little while, you're not going to see me. And again, a little while, you will see me. Why? Because I go to the Father. Why? You're going to see Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's there pointing you to Jesus. Pastor Richard, what did you just say? The Holy Spirit is here to guide you, to correct you, and to keep you on point. You need somebody to make sure you keep your nose clean. But early during worship, I was talking to my wife, and I was like, hey, hun, how I look? And she was like, you got something in your teeth. And I was like, dang, that sucks. And I was all, How am I now? And she was like, you got it. I was like, that's right. I'm gonna come up here with things in my teeth. My teeth are bad enough as they are. Need extra stuff up in there. See, she keeps me on point. Keeps me so fresh and so clean, clean. There's the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes we think, oh, I don't want to. We start to think, oh, well, you know what? I don't like going to church because church makes me feel bad. I don't want to be a Christian because I'll feel bad about all the things I do. That's right, you should, because you feel bad about stupid things. You want to do stupid things? It would be horrible to do stupid things and feel good about them. Because people do. They do stupid things all the time and they feel good about them. Taking pictures and posting online and bragging about it. Things drive me nuts when people getting fights and post pictures about them. That stuff drives me nuts. I'm like, that's stupid. You're going to beat somebody up and post a picture? That's stupid. You're not even getting paid for that. He said, I hope you aren't, because that's a whole different level of stupid. But anyway, why are you going to rejoice celebrating you doing stupid things? That's dumb. The Holy Spirit's there to tell you, no, that's dumb. Don't do it. And then when you feel bad, when you think, man, I used to enjoy it, now I don't enjoy it. That's because the Holy Spirit's convicting you, keeping you on the straight and narrow. The Holy Spirit is causing you to be holy. You know, people have been asking, Pastor Richard, I'm stuck on this. I have memories of this. Pastor Richard, this. I want to do these things. And that's good, because the Holy Spirit is talking to you, and you are not being comfortable with the things that you used to be comfortable with anymore. Every day, every week, God needs to be revealing things inside of you. If you stop feeling bad about some things, you need to check yourself. I'm not saying you need to live in guilt all the time, because that's not what I'm talking about. What I am saying is this, is God will be taking you for the rest of your life on a road of repentance, to where the rest of your life you are going to be shown things in your life that you need to change, relationships you need to fix, attitudes you need to adjust, you know, ways of speaking that you need to stop. Now, I'm not even talking about cuss words. I'm just talking about people being mean to each other. Because sometimes cussing isn't even the problem. The problem is you're just rude and mean. You just use really nice words to be mean. He's the one who convicts us of righteousness and sin. Righteousness, because he wants to tell you this is the way you should go. Of sin, because he wants to say, don't go this way. Last verse, jot it down in Titus 3:5. Bible says this. Put up there Titus 3:5. Titus 3:5 says this. It says, let the Holy Spirit lead you there. Press that button, Lord. Make him press that button. Bam! Dang, God's good. It says, now, not by works of righteousness will be done, but according to the mercy of Savior, through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, it says it doesn't come by just us doing nice and right things. No, no, no. Your heart has changed. The Holy Spirit convicts you by speaking into your heart, washing, renewing, regenerating your body, your mind. It's like your mind. It's like your life is like a large cup full of dirty water. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And as he comes into your life, it's like someone pouring gallons of clean water into that dirty cup. And if the more water you pour, the cleaner that cup will get. Until finally, if the flow is strong enough and the water is large enough, eventually that cup will become clean and all the dirty water will become so diluted that it'll become clean. Is the washing of the regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit. See, without the Holy Spirit, you come into a building, some guy talks, and you leave, and you think, oh, that was kind of nice. I like that part. I didn't like that part. It's kind of boring. I fell asleep this week. But when you have the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, you're not coming to hear somebody talk and tell you trivia and listen to a band. All of a sudden, no. You are coming to a divine appointment where God himself has a date with you. And on this date, God wants to have you experience his presence and his power. And all of a sudden, you're coming into a place that you know to have an expectation to leave change, to leave when somebody speaks to you. Not just somebody, some person, an opinion, an idea, but God himself has come to deposit something into your heart and into your life. Because God all of a sudden is not an idea. God is not a thought. God is not some type of metaphorical explanation of the way things possibly could be in a poetical way, because that's what we learned in English class when we read that psalm. No, God's a person with a will, a mind, emotion, with a presence. And when he walks into the room and you pay attention, all of a sudden your heart bows and he is able to put inside of you the dreams and the desires and the excitement and the exuberance, and all of a sudden you leave this place changed because you did not hear somebody talk. You had an experience, you had a moment, you had a date with the creator of the universe. And he calls you his own, and you are his son or his daughter, and his power has been given to you to leave this place and live a life of fullness. And all of a sudden, you can't wait to introduce the people around you to somebody that you met. You can't wait to introduce them to a person you had a conversation with. Not a chair, not a building, not an idea, but no, the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God himself here on earth, that is not fit to just stay in a building, but to go with you wherever you go in life. Hey, you choose the Christianity you want. I would like a relationship with the living God, because no man has a relationship with the living God that stays the same. If you guys got anything out of God today, let's give him praise.